Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Getting to know you, having a good nose about you. Having a gander, looking at what makes you tick.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Nigel and Len's Propaganda, a podcast where we invite a guest whom we have so much in common with, but have a propaganda of what makes us all different. And this week, Lenny's now to introduce this week's defendant.
Thank you, Judge Khan. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you my most talented musical friend, Alan Avitt Guest. How are you doing, Alan?
I'm very well, thank you, lads.
Good stuff. Thank you
and
for coming.
And yourself?
Yeah, we're all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, not too bad at all. We can't complain, can we?
I'll bet you can.
Well, we can do, but we try to keep this to about an hour.
All right, then.
Which is tough going for us. So, you're having your day in court, Alan. How are you feeling about it?
I've got a suit on and everything.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in the almost in the town already.
Yeah.
The old Snaresbrook special's on.
Yeah.
Right, Alan. I don't have to explain this to you. Let's go straight with it. How are you going to plead, Tanner or out of Tanner?
Well, I've had a long think about it, and really, you know, I'm an out of Tanner.
All right. We'll see how that pans out. But, you know.
I may put you in.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
So, but we'll see.
We've had a couple of close shows, haven't we? Not Sean, you understand.
Okay.
He wasn't close.
See,
young Anton got close.
Oh.
He got a...
Has there been any Towners yet?
No.
No, there hasn't, actually. Actually, no. Funny enough, that's why we got you on. I thought you were going to say Towner. we will try and get a Towner. Someone who wants their day in court and be a Towner.
Yes, I think we'll get him on.
Yeah. I can't see. He's going to have to work hard. Or he's going to have to make me work hard, at least.
Those names he will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, ideal.
Anyway, he'll have his day in court. Today's yours, Alan.
All right, okay. I'm ready.
So the process of it is, as you've declared yourself an out-of-towner, we're going to give you, you're going to the county court, and you're going to apply for planning permission for your dream out-of-towner lifestyle. See what you can get. Now, Anton... I think he got himself a 5-bedroom house or 4-bedroom house. He'd done well for himself.
Yeah, but they're cheaper in Scotland.
Well, that may be the case, but, you know, you don't know, you know, you live where you live, your home is your home, and there's nothing wrong with being out of town. Like, we always...
I've never lived in town, I'd admit.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Where were you born, Alan?
I was born indoors. Well, everyone's born indoors unless you're, like, born outdoors. No, I was born at home.
Yeah.
In Elm Park.
Oh, Elm Park. I was there today.
Yeah, Lancaster Drive.
Wow. Do you know, I'm not too familiar with Elm Park. Is that near Romford?
No, it's a...
Hornchurch.
It's Hornchurch and heading up around Raynham.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Or South Hornchurch, as they like to be called now.
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah. Okie doke. Well, you know.
So Elm Park.
Elm Park is the working class part of Hornchurch.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Right, okay. Well, if you're not born in the town, maybe the out-of-towner thing might it'll be a bit of a stretch. Right, so let's see what questions to get to know you a little bit more. Let's give you a... right. Let's look through my little list. Right.
Prepared.
Well, I am kind of prepared, right. Okay. But, you know, we've had Christmas.
Oh, right, yes.
You know, I'll regress a little bit. I'll get back in, you know. I'm not one of these foreign players that people make the excuses for. I need to find my feet and settle down.
I'll go while he's looking. Big family.
Big family. Yeah. Well, my father was one of nine and my mother was one of four. Father born in East Ham, mother born in Battersea.
Oh, South.
Yeah. But when she was young, they've rehoused all the Battersea people into Dagenham.
Oh.
So they missed out. If they'd still been in Battersea, their house would have been a bit worth a bit more money, I should imagine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so all my life, I've known me grand to be in Dagenham. So I've got East Ham and Dagenham. So, and then, that's it.
Right. Here's your first question, Alan.
Yeah.
If you could only choose one stand at Upton Park forever, which do you choose?
Well, I had my best years.
Yeah.
And you're going to crucify me for this, in the Upper East.
Right.
Because my mate had two tickets in the front row of the Upper East, and he gave one to me, and it was just like fantastic, the best view in the world. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I was sort of towards the Bobby Moore, in between halfway line and the Bobby Moore.
So the Bobby Moore was a South Bank, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When was this?
Well, right up to when we moved. I was there at the last match, sitting in the seat.
Really? So, but when was when did you first go there?
First match, my father took me to. I went in the South Bank.
Yeah.
1968, Arsenal at home. Drew 1-1. George Armstrong and Trevor Brooking, I believe, got the equaliser.
Nice.
And since then, that was it. Hooked and, you know, went ever since.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good answer.
After going a lot, my father, I didn't get interested in football till I was about 11. And he'd been waiting and waiting to take me. And it took me to the first match. And then after that, his job changed and he couldn't take me on a Saturday.
That's happened to me.
So, I used to go on my own.
Nice.
And
when you went on your own, where did you go? What was your routine?
Well, I was a bit of a nutter, really, I suppose. Not like a Nov Bank nutter, but no. I used to go about 10 o'clock in the morning to get there early enough to get in the front row. That was a West stand lower.
West Terrace.
What is it? West... You was when you stood there, your eyes were pitch level.
Yes.
And, I spent most of the time there. And then, do you know when you used to get an insurance salesman come around your house?
Well, no, you? But we heard about it.
Yeah, perhaps I was the only one.
The pro, but the man from the pro.
Man from the pro.
Yeah.
He couldn't go. He had a season ticket. He couldn't go anymore. And he sold me for the rest of the season in the West End. And there was, let me get this right, there were 12 matches left, and I'll give him £6 for it.
Wow. I see.
Yeah, so, and that was in with a seat.
Yeah.
So now I'm spoilt because I want to see.
Well, it's a very good, I mean, what you said is the front row of an Apatia, which is your original choice where you finish off, is very good out of town of real estate there.
Oh, it's brilliant. So the football was diabolical for a time, but the only reason I stayed there because I didn't think I'd ever get a better seat than that. You know?
No, you're probably right.
So
come to think of it, with that stand being what it was like, you're probably better off there, seeing everything around you, looking quite big and intimidating, rather than the other side looking at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
your point of view.
I mean, been in the Bobby Moore up. You're going to Bobby Moore upper, and you're like in a flight path. It's crazy.
The East Upper. I had one season in the East Upper because I had a season ticket for about 3-4 years on the Chicken Run from the mid-90s after the North Bank went, and then went season ticket holder. And then I had to go one season. It was the Manny Omniemi Cup season.
Oh, God.
Where I was East Upper, but because I'd renewed too late. So sometimes if I didn't have the cash, I couldn't renew straight away. So when I finally got the cash together to go and renew my season book, someone else had taken my seat. So I had to buy in the East because my mates were in the East. So I thought I'd buy East Upper. And actually, I was quite impressed with the view because I grew up going West Upper, which was higher up. But the East Lower, the East Upper, as such, you were still very close to the ground, like the pitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, in the Bobby Moore Upper, you can't see the faces or anything, you know. Which is, I don't know. Oh, we can't see the players at the London Stadium, but. But I'd different phases in the when was it that Tony Cotty and Alan Dickens come in? What, that sort of year?
83.
84, 83.
That, me and my mate used to get probably not blind drunk, but quite pissed, and then pay a geezer on the door a fiver or whatever it was, and then crash in there about 3 o'clock. Push our way into the middle of the lower East and watch the match sort of through, you know, I don't know, a drunken mist, I suppose. But
glazed eyes.
Yeah. And we did that for quite a while. I had a spate in the South Bank. So I've been all around. The North Bank, not so much. Did either of you ever go in the boys' enclosure?
I don't think.
Because that looked horrendous.
Was that the bit that was sort of the boys' enclosure? I'm thinking, is that like the
it was a North Bank, in between the North Bank and the West side.
Yeah, that was shut when I was a kid.
It was up in the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, it was horrendous.
They had this. I did it once in the South Bank in the corner, which was next to the East End, which was for a Southampton game. After we just got promoted, and it was my first time on the South Bank, and I went up there with my mates from school because I'd just gone up into the comprehensive, so we had a few like new mates, and about 8 of us all piled into West Ham that night rather than go and sit in my seat upstairs. And actually, it made me like sitting in the West Upper more.
Yeah,
that one day on the South Bank, we in the end we had to go up into the corner opposite. But the boys' enclosure, I mean, that probably predates us. But I do know where you was, but that was shut because I think it was unsafe when I was a kid.
I think it was unsafe anyway. Like if you got in there, it's quite unsafe like from other people.
Yeah. And it was above the entrance, so you would walk in, and it would be what would above you.
Yeah.
And that's where people stood. So you walked into like a tunnel, didn't you? As you walked onto the North Bank from Green Street, you was in the far corner, the turnstiles, next to the West End, and then you sort of went up steps, and it was like a sort of tunnel, and you came down, and there was a sign, I think, that said, "Beware uneven steps."
Yeah, yeah.
And the bit above it that created the tunnel was shut off. No one could stand there, I swear, when I was a kid.
Because you're not that much younger than me, are you? I suppose. Mm-hmm.
It depends if you want to declare your age.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think so.
I've already declared my age.
Yeah, Well, yeah, you
went to West Ham before I was born now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said how old I was when I first went, and I told you the year.
You got to understand, I'm not a very good, you know, barrister. I didn't take a note of that. But what I did take note of that is a very good, you definitely get a good out-of-towner point now. Yeah. You've definitely got at least one bedroom. So, question two is, if the Hammers bond was available today, would you buy it?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
There was no thinking about that.
No.
Why is that? What makes you say absolutely not? Because I've got a funny feeling Nigel would. He might not admit it.
Well, I didn't understand it at the time.
No, I didn't.
I don't buy anything I don't understand. Is it not having a share in the club, but you haven't?
No, it wasn't.
Is it like a queue jumper thing that you get at Disneyland?
He really don't get it.
Describe it is you're loaning the club money for 100 years.
Oh, no.
Because
do you get
after
interest?
100 years, I don't know if you get 100, but I'm pretty sure that after 100 years, so in 2092,
yeah,
93, the club have got to repay all the bond money.
All right, that's all right, isn't it?
And apparently they do have to set aside money. I think if you look at the accounts, it shows the money they've set aside to repay. Now, luckily for West Ham, they only sold 800.
So did they give them money back when it wasn't successful?
No.
They
will get their money back in...
Really? They should have got the money back when we got the new ground.
They're going to get the money back at the moment, are they?
No.
Funny thing about it is, I say, it's funny you should say you didn't get it. When the bond scheme was happening, I think I kind of did understand, not understand it as in I understand it and I'm going to buy it, because I was pretty much, I'd only just come out of college, art college. And what I was doing at the time, there was a lot of printing work with British Gas, BT, Water, everything was being privatised at the time. Yeah. And people wanted to hand over their money they thought it was a good investment. So I did kind of get it. And I do think West Ham and Arsenal were doing the same thing. They were following the trend. But as usual, even back then days, they didn't understand football fans. And they wasn't asking sort of middle-class people who already had their mortgage in place. And had no way of investing in something other than a mortgage, because you were getting good interest rates having your money in the bank and Tessas were at, which preceded ISAs. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of investment opportunities that people wanted to take advantage of. And West Ham were only following suit, but it didn't go down well.
But it was the marketing. The marketing was the fact is that what people may not realise is that if they'd have redeveloped the stand using the bond scheme money, the capacity would have been 28,000, I believe.
Yeah.
All seats.
That stand or the
whole ground. And then basically what the club was saying were, with terracing, they had 36,000. 35 or 36,000 with the North Bank, the South Bank, and the Lower East terracing, and it's got to go all seater because the government has said it. And if you don't buy one of these, you might not get to watch West Ham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's blackmail,
isn't
it?
It was pure blackmail. The way they'd done the marketing, it was pure blackmail. They were appealing to the out of towner.
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
Didn't appeal to me. What was that, 92? No. 92.
92. There was three bonds, I believe. There was like a £500 bond, a £750 bond, I believe, and a £900 bond. I can double check this. I've still got all the paperwork from the era. Not that I applied for a bond, because at the time, I'm glad you said that, Al, to be fair. And I still sort of believe it now that they were almost like traitors.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I did buy into the don't buy the bond. You know, the fans need to rise up and fight this.
But the amount of money, it's one of them things that, you know, it's not that much money.
Oh, I don't know.
For the person.
A couple of holidays, wasn't it?
Was it then?
Back in the early 90s, it was a lot of money for me.
Day week or something.
And, well, it's mine, Ed.
But it's, you know, it's almost like that someone's decided, right, we can appeal to, you know, it's not out of people's reach, but it's enough to get us a few quid in. Do you know what I mean? They could have said some silly amount, couldn't they?
Yeah.
But then again, if they'd have gone lower, sound like Bruce Forsyth now, if they'd gone lower, they probably, and said something like 100 quid, they probably would have got more than what they got now.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't have raised the money. The thing is, the prices were set because all the money was to be used to pay for the new stands. So basically the Bobby Moore stand and the Centenary stand.
Right.
They were the two stands that were down to be built. So for to create an all-seater stadium. So it would have, that's what West Ham were doing. They were raising funds. Arsenal had done it. And it was more better managed than West Ham. But what people forget is Arsenal managed to do it. They were off the back of winning the title twice in three years and winning cups. West Ham were trying to take money off of fans and they'd won nothing for 12 years.
Yeah, but we're used to that, aren't we? We don't mind winning nothing.
You know, so, it's all right copying. I think Rangers have done it. So it's all right saying, well, Rangers were doing it and Arsenal were doing it. And what they failed to realise is, but they had teams that won games.
Yeah.
I wonder if Rangers bondholders lost their bonds in when they went in liquidation. I reckon they did. Rangers podcast, I'm sorry.
Well, that's another.
Mm. Anyway, let's move on from the bond. I wish they'd never fucking brought it up.
Who started talking about the bond?
Sorry about that.
I don't know nothing about the bond.
Okay, let's ask another question. Right, you have a dinner party in your new home.
Right.
Choose a menu and special celebrity guest.
Oh, you should have asked me this before so I could think about it.
Do you want me to,
a menu, right. So
what's your favourite food?
Favourite food. Well, we'd have to go with steak and chips, I suppose.
Yeah, that's out of towner answer. You're getting extra out of towner points for that.
There's no way you're inviting round people to eat pie and mash, is there?
Nah.
Even if like someone's delivered it or something, you know. So
what's your favourite cut of steak?
Rump. I was going to say fillet, but I think because it's a dearest, you think it's the best, but rump.
Not necessarily.
T-bone. Yeah, I haven't had one in years.
T-bone, you get a little bit of both there.
Yeah.
So how do you have it cooked?
Medium rare.
Okay. T-bone's a cut that if you like your steak well done, people have a bit of deep T-bone because it gets a bit of flavour out of the bone.
Yeah, and you can. Do I get a point for picking the bone up, even if I'm in a restaurant?
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's a tanner point.
I think that's a good out of tanner. So we said medium rare. Immediate thought were good fellas when he says, an aristocrat. So that's an extra out of tanner point.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm not winning or losing. I've lost track.
No, I reckon you've already got a few bedrooms in your house at the moment. Things are looking good. No, yeah. I mean, you could have got more in the bondholder question, but you're an honest man, have it, and that's not going to work against you. We're a fair court here.
Yeah. Okay. Then. The truth and all that.
You didn't want. Oh, how about you? Who's your special celebrity guest?
Special celebrity.
Don't have to be West Ham related, which is.
No,
just
probably ain't going to be. You hear so much. I mean, I know this is a football thing and all that.
No, it can be.
It ain't a football thing, really, is it?
No, not really. We don't know much about football the best of times, have it? Let's be honest.
I don't really talk about football outside of talking about
a lovely, healthy lifestyle. It sounds like doing that,
you know, because there's so much. It's too much talk now, isn't there?
There is.
All the games are not being played, and everyone's talking about it.
Yeah,
you know, come to my channel and you know, listen to me talk about West Ham. It's so much you can talk about, isn't there? So
that's right.
I wouldn't have anyone to do with football. I'd give myself a break there. So, are they got to be alive?
No.
Oh, that's a bit. It's not going to be a very fun party if I invite a load of dead people, though, is it?
Well, we'll bring them back.
All right. I think Salvador Dali's got to be in here somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Why him?
Oh.
Because he's weird and interesting.
Paints a pretty picture.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's just one of them people, you know, just got oddball, you know, and it'd be interesting.
What would you ask him?
How'd you get your moustache to stick up like that?
Be glue knowing him. Done a lot of commercial work, you know, Dali. He designed the Chupa, is it Chupa Chops? You know, the lollies?
Chupa
Chops.
Yeah, it's Chupa. Chupa Cups, isn't it? Chupa Chups. He designed it, I think. Did he? It was Dali.
The rapper? He didn't design it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Dali. I'll look that up, actually, because I'm going to feel a bit of a fucking fool if I'm wrong and it's another artist. I might be getting my artist mixed up.
I suppose you've got to have a comic in there as well, someone funny. But Tommy Cooper, how about him?
Sounds fantastic to me.
Tommy Cooper.
You know, that don't surprise me, you like Tommy Cooper.
But if he, I'm not sure, Tommy Cooper or Spike Milligan. No, I'll go for Spike Milligan. Tommy Cooper's a lot of one. Yeah, yeah. Spike
Have
Milligan.
You looked back at these comedians lately?
Yeah, yeah.
And
what are you thinking? They're not funny anymore?
No, well, it's not quite that. It's the political correctness of it. Etc.
What, there wasn't any?
Well, I'm talking, when you said Spike Milligan, I immediately thought that indie impression you'd done.
But he was born in India.
That's right, he was. Of course he was, yeah.
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 Nigel, you're doing an impression of an Englishman now. Hour out of order.
Yeah. Quite bloody right. Yeah, it was Dali who designed it. I was quite right. I thought I was.
What, the lollipop?
Yeah, the Chupa Chups.
Oh, I learned something today.
There you go. He done a few things. I looked the rest up. Yeah, I'm in this lockdown. I'm enjoying Minder. I'm watching reruns of Minder.
Did you watch it the first time round?
Yeah, it's my favourite. There's actually not much to it, but it's nice to watch, having a sort of half watch, because you know you're not missing anything.
Yeah, it's a bit shallow, isn't it? Although George Carl was meant for Dennis Waterman as a vehicle for him. But
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, because didn't he write the theme tune, sing the theme tune?
Yeah. That's right. And I see lots of places around Shepherd's Bush here. So I had a few gigs around that area, advertising gigs. Around there, and I see lots of places that I recognise, and I like, it's London based, and I like London based stuff. I don't know, we got on this across.
Did you ever gig yourself, Jay?
No, I always wanted to be a better guitarist, as we all do.
Same here.
And we're never happy.
To be fair,
you were a drummer.
I was in the boys brigade.
Oh, okay.
The first thing they give you is a bugle.
Yeah.
I tell you what, couldn't blow that, mate. Because you don't blow it. Apparently, you blow like a raspberry.
That's right, yeah.
That was my first instrument at grammar school. Oh, I got a slip of that in grammar school.
Grammar school,
yeah, sorry. Here we go, that's another out-of-towner point.
What grammar school did you go then?
Royal Liberty.
Oh, where's, what, Romford, is that? Or?
Yeah. It was a...
Royal?
Huh?
Did you say Royal
Liberty Grammar School for boys?
I can't knock it. My mum went grammar school, though. It was plasto grammar.
I didn't do very well, but I got sort of like a little bit of knowledge about a lot of things. But didn't really. I found music and girls, and that it all went out of window. Education.
How far did you get with your music, Alan? Was you a bit of a?
I thought you were going to say how far did you get with a girl.
No, sorry. We can talk about that off air.
I've gone all locked now, and I had a flashback. Right. How far with the music? Not really. It was just a hobby, really.
Yeah.
Been in a couple of, I didn't get in a band until I was 30. And I wrote a shitload of songs, and we played them, didn't get anywhere, you know. And then got married, had kids, didn't play the guitar for about, I don't know, another 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And then one day I thought, all these songs, I'm going to record them properly with proper people in a studio. So I did that. I had a mate who had a studio, and he produced some stuff for me, and I got a girl out of Salt of Soul to sing on it. Mm. I got some people that were not so – well, everybody else wasn't famous, but, you know, and I got a lot of material done professionally, but now – it's just a hobby, really.
Yeah.
I'm no good at playing the guitar. I've been playing the guitar for 50 years and I'm crap.
Do you know what? You're never, as a guitarist, you're never happy, are you? But you can play the guitar. It's like me. My missus is she's really a virtuoso, but she's a bit of a fraud. She does her Zoom calls now. She says, "Can I do the Zoom calls in your room while, you know, and you go out?" And what she wants all my guitar collections and the amps behind. So everyone thinks she's up to date and trendy. But she won't pick out and play them.
Was she a guitarist?
She was grade 9, but she's a classical guitarist. She's not the blues bender like me.
All right.
I'm a purely pentatonic man, to be honest.
All right.
But what's I going to say about...
you said how far I didn't have a hit.
Yeah. Did you get? I mean, I went to about 10 years ago. I was thinking to myself, if I would have been a bassist, if I'd have just dropped the ego, learnt the bass, I would have walked into any band. Did you ever think about that?
That's what I was, a bass guitarist.
Oh, you was?
Yeah.
Or maybe you didn't. Well, I bought myself a bass about, actually, the missus bought it for me for Christmas. She bought a cheap one, £65. I never knew such a thing existed.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you play it through a digital interface now,
yeah.
And an emulator amp, because you need a bass amp otherwise. And it sounds as good as anything else. And I always thought myself, I'd be good at bass. I'd cracked them out. Easy peasy.
What, slapping and everything?
Oh, yeah, the lot. Yeah, by seeing like the Mark King and stuff like that, and that Bernard, what's his name, we're out of Chic. I mean, he was the man, wasn't he?
Oh, he was.
I can't remember his surname, Bernard something. I just picked it up, and I was just sort of kind of thought myself, fucking wasting my life. I could have stood there, had a few drinks, you know, just played music, but, well, you know.
My boyfriend's a bass player.
Is he?
He's just set up his own music company. Yeah, he's played Glastonbury. He's been on telly. He keeps popping up here, there, and everywhere as a session player. He does well. Yeah, does well out of it.
Mm.
The pinnacle of my career, if you can call it that, was a support act in the Main Fiddler in London.
Yes,
yeah,
and yeah, that's it. We're Saturday night. Full house, and we was in the dressing room with the main band. I can't even remember their name. It's a blues band from America, and that was great. That was great, but that was it. That was how far we got. We recorded a few bits, but nothing fantastic.
Mm.
So it's just a hobby. But all that guitar playing I'd do for you is, you know, I'm stopping, starting and retuning it.
Yeah, that's what we do now, don't we? Yeah.
Retuning it. And,
yeah. This is it. I think what happens is...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the pursuit of semi-perfection, I won't say perfection, and editing, you become an expert at editing, and then you're not playing the guitar, and you're not sort of rendering on your guitar, and you're doing it for different things, and then eventually you put it down, didn't you, for months, and then you don't pick it up.
Yeah,
it's a funny
even
thing.
Strumming silly chords. I'm looking on the internet for a loop that will play that chord because I can't do it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's the fun learning something. You never sell your guitars. You don't. You know you're going to play it for all your life, and you know the joy is learning. But really, sometimes.
But even there, if someone came around, I should learn it. But if someone come around and says, "I'll play us a song," I won't be able to play a song all the way through.
That's what I was trying to get.
How long you playing? 50 years. I can't.
Because you've got no interest because there's no one there to motivate you to get into the song, to be in a band.
Yeah, that's true.
You do it for different reasons, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, that's another question, Dan.
I've done another one for the... That's the show tunes.
Oh, beautiful.
But it's I've surpassed myself this time.
Oh, I like the sound of this. Oh. Well, you've never disappointed me, so I'm going to look forward to this now. I just got to animate them all.
Yeah.
There's lots on, but, you know, it's good that I've always got something to do. That's what I love about you, Alan.
Well, it's always different.
Yeah. And you've always got something, oh, I've just done this. I'm not a big fan of people saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No. You're my type of guy, you're like me. He's like, oh, I've just happened to do this.
Well, when I did some of the stuff for you, the David Gold one.
Yeah, the Pure Gold.
Pure Gold. And I managed to do a couple in a night. You were saying, you was getting the songs. And because when you first asked me to do it, I thought that's impossible. But you can download MIDI files and, you know, it's a bit like getting the sheet music and having someone play it for you.
Yeah.
And, so I was happy how that went.
Yeah, it was good fun, that wasn't it?
Yeah,
Seen or heard our musical, you can find it on the Hammers Chat Forum channel or Google Pure Gold West Ham Musical and you'll probably find it. And
That's my work,
that was it. Actually, you took longer to do that than Abby did to take you to do the actual music. To do you one line. What fun we had, though, which is always the main thing.
It was good. It was good.
It was a lot of fun.
It was good.
It was a lot of fun. So if you haven't seen that.
It's well worth a look. Yeah. You know, even if you just have the sound on and just listen to the music, it's all right.
I mean, it was lost on me a bit. It was good fun, but what I never knew was is that some of the songs were from based on musical songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd never heard the Chicago ones
at
all.
No, that's the thing. No. I never, until I sat and I watched Chicago with my wife after obviously we'd gone through Peru Gold. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I know that song. That was him.
Well, because I had to drum them into me myself so I could do it. At the end of it, I said to the missus, do you want to go and see it in the West End? It was like, cost me about 300 quid.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Playing, you know.
You see, when I used to go to musicals.
Did you pay paying 300 quid then? For
Nah. Oh, here we go. Another point.
Here's another room.
I know, people, for me, with my trade, I always say I was born the wrong side of London because I had someone ring up. They'd ring up from Kensington and I'd double my price, not just because I was in East London, but yeah. I knew they had a bit of money, which, whatever. So you go and do the job. And then I remember someone rang me up from Canning Town and said, I'm locked out of my ass, mate. How much? And I went, oh, it's 35 quid, mate. He went, fuck it. I kicked the door in. And I'm like, and that's why I don't get the work because where I lived, my local area, I used to work as a freelancer, but one of the biggest locksmiths in London only used freelancers. So I had East London, but East London was his worst performing area.
This, your East London, your towners.
Yeah.
There is a rumour that they used to leave their back doors open. It was all right. Yeah. So how would you do as a locksmith there?
Well, not very well.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair. So that's why I had to go travelling over to the west side and pick up whatever I could. Because generally, in the East End, you get people locked out. Some people would pay, some people wouldn't. But you just knew you just wouldn't, you wouldn't get the big money in the East End.
How did you get in? Did you have to use one of them things where you got three little things and you like they do on the films?
Well, no, I'm one of them people where I sit there and go, you can't do it like that. So you can't give it away. Realistically, but yeah, I've got lock picks.
Yeah,
there's other forms. There's locksmith's plastic. There's other ways of getting in.
Upstairs window.
Well, no, you could pop a window. I mean, I was trained in the art of getting in and getting out. Yeah. So I was trained in the art of opening whatever was easiest.
Ah, gotcha.
But no damage. So I was sort of trained.
And you still do that now?
I dabble in it. I've moved on to electronic security now, but obviously I've still got the skill. I still, people still ring me up and say, can you sort this out? Can you get me
don't
in
don't incriminate here? Yourself.
Well, no. There's the stuff I can say publicly, and then the best stories are kept from like my day trip to Scotland. That was good.
It says a lot about me that I knew when you were talking about musicals, I knew everything. And then you went to locksmiths and stuff, and the pair you just completely lost me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about locksmiths. And I work for a security camera company as well. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, do you?
Was that your job for how long?
Oh, no. It's sort of like.
It wasn't your trade.
Oh, no. I'm going to get about fucking 10 points in a minute.
Right, come on. What was your trade, Alan?
I haven't really got a trade. I was a welder, right? And my father had a shop,
right?
And I did 5 years at night school, 3 nights a week, while I worked for an engineering company.
Yeah.
And I did this welding, I did MIG and TIG and all that business.
Yeah.
And then I took the exam, passed the exam, and that was the last time I welded.
Yeah.
Which is 40 years ago now.
Yeah.
And then I worked in a shop. Because it was. And what?
What was the shop?
Oh, it was a convenience store.
Oh.
Whereabouts?
on a corner.
So it was a corner shop.
It was a corner shop.
So you ran a corner shop?
Yeah, I ran a corner shop.
Where was that then?
On a corner.
Yeah, but a corner where?
No, I don't want people coming and say, I bought a tin of beans from you 15 years ago. And well,
they got to tell us the name of the shop, just like what area.
What area?
Oh, it was South Hornchurch.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, right. I want to have a question for you, Alan.
Go on.
Have you ever looked up your family tree?
We haven't got any trees in our garden.
You know what I mean.
Right. My mother did it.
Yeah.
And my sister did it more intensely.
Yeah.
Because she had the use of the internet.
Yeah.
And they were telling me all these stories about my granddad's uncle used to have a wheelbarrow, used to go down the road. And what I'm trying to say is that I'm not really interested.
Right.
Not really interested. I don't know why, but, you know.
Was your family just, is it you not interested or was, or did you find anything interesting? No,
well, my mum says that one of my, I don't know, my great grandmother or great granddad or something owned a lot of the commercial road.
What, in Shoreditch?
Yeah. Lots of proper, not the commercial, but
commercial
lots of proper
street, commercial.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it is. I do beg your pardon.
Yeah, it's like property on the road, you know, commercial road, like going up to the East End. And a great aunt of mine owned the Cherry Tree Pub in Raynham.
Oh, yeah.
And a woodsman and an onger. Yeah. But no, I don't even keep in touch with cousins and uncles and all that now anyway.
So. A lot of guests if your dad was one of nine.
Yeah. But mostly, I mean, he's 93 now, so there's not many of them left.
All right, let's move on to another question. You can dump any West Ham-related personality. Who would it be? You can't say Sean because he ain't got a personality.
I don't know anything about Sean and all that, Clara, and you and all that. I've no idea.
Well, you know, I mean, not that local entirely. Do you know what I mean? Not, I don't know, Russell Brand might get on your tits or something like that.
Oh, right.
You know. Can you think of anyone who you think, say, oh, I wish you weren't a West Ham fan?
James Corden, maybe.
Yeah, I thought it's funny. I think that might be a popular answer.
And I used to like him and all that, but
it's funny, isn't it? I did.
It all went to his head, didn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. The only thing that used to annoy me was with Allardyce. But then they all do that, don't they? They all suck up to whoever the manager is and stuff like that. But I don't mind James Corden.
I generally, with football, I always look at it like how it was, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. You go to the match, you watch the match, shit happens or you win or whatever, and you go and work Monday, talk about it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
It's gone. Yeah.
And then next Saturday, rinse, repeat.
Absolutely. I remember it being like that, like through sort of like when I used to go to the football on my own, steam on my own, go to the football, have a couple of beers, watch the football, go home and watch Baywatch.
Hey.
Exactly. It got me, mates. I mean, by the time you had a good look at Pamela Anderson and et cetera, like you forgot about the football and everything, and then you were going out, you know, and enjoying yourself, it was just part of your Saturday, wasn't it? And now it's, okay, listen, I buy into it. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of part of what I do now. But there's a lot of it. Yeah, and there's only so much to talk about.
Too much.
Overthinking people, over analysing. And I don't think we're enjoying it like we used to.
No. Because of it. No. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't know who the chairman was, or I didn't know what the accounts were. I didn't know how much they paid for players, or cared. Yeah.
Oh, I find that. That's the one bit I do find baffling, that people now want to know the ins and outs of a transfer deal, that people feel the need to know how much money. Which is a bit funny for me, because I do the money videos, but the reason when I do the money stuff is I'm trying to put it plainly that it's not what you think, because everyone's an accountant on Twitter.
Come
accounts time, and I'm thinking, when did that become relevant?
But when we sold Allah, it looks like we took a 20 million drop. Yeah. We didn't take a 20 million drop. Well, it ain't affecting me. I've still got the same amount of money.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Maybe this is more a West Ham thing since Golden Sullivan, because they gave it the big and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. That causes a reaction of people saying, well, you said you were going to do, we were going to be richer and it's only done this, and you spent your money on this, blah, blah, blah. And that causes another reaction. And then the other reaction, and it just totally, totally continues. This was the type of thing that used to be kind of exclusive to newspapers to make sort of, to fill column inches to sell newspapers. And now it's everywhere. Dominating more than sort of the enjoyment of football. And sometimes I sense if you're a team like Southampton's not a great example, but Newcastle, that's an awful example. I'm struggling, aren't I? No, let's say Southampton. Let's say Southampton. I think you're probably being more focused on what happens on the pitch and looking forward to different stuff rather than getting into the nitty-gritty of the politics and finances of the club, because generally the owners of Southampton are doing a good job. Even when it seems like they're selling one of their favourite players and they're disappointed about it for a while,
they must replace it with someone else, don't they?
Exactly. Sometimes better.
Yeah.
Mm. So maybe that's got something to do with it.
I think it's the proliferation of news sites that feel the need to pump out stuff, so they will cover every single angle just for content.
Yeah.
And that is where I point the finger.
Yeah. I mean, really, you've got match previews, haven't you? So everyone does a match preview. It's pointless, really, but they would do a match preview. And then do a match review. You know, we'll watch the match. Everyone's got a different opinion, but we've got to listen to X's opinion. I don't get it. The match is gone. We win, we lose. Ah, get on with it. You know? But that's it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
Apart from the West Ham ladies. Now, I could talk about that all day.
Yeah, we didn't. We haven't talked about it.
You haven't talked about it. So you blanked it. You said, how do we get involved with the West Ham ladies? Then someone mentioned Stephen Hunt, and then it all went out, you know.
We did, didn't we? I'm very sorry. Do you want us to go through a little bit? Nigel, let me hand it over to Nigel, because Nigel's an advocate of disliking the ladies' football, and you're a big fan of it. Yeah. Let's have 5 minutes talking about that.
Right, I'll put where I come from, and then you can put me right, Al. So for me, West Ham ladies, one, predominantly don't play in West Ham, never have done. Two, the current setup for me is manufactured almost on the form of the MK Dons, in that when Jack Sullivan, another reason to dislike the West Ham ladies now, is that when the Sullivans bought the club, the ladies team, they then paid for them to jump two leagues into the Women's Premier League.
Yeah, but that's how it's done. If Stephen, the second time I met him, he said that's what he would have done. That's the way it's done, because not everyone's got the facilities to play in that top league. So it is a money thing. But it's not just West Ham.
Why can't West Ham ladies play in the league below then? Because for me, I went to watch him when they used to play at Averley when Julian Dix was the manager.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of hundred people there, and you'd invariably end up talking to someone's parent because a lot of the crowd was the parents. But there seemed to be more of a community feel to it. Where
I started going, the reason, going back to the original question, you might have asked me it before, the original question about how did I get involved, I'm not even sure there was an original question, actually, thinking about it, but I'll pretend there was. Is that Gio asked me to go and take some photographs because he knew I had a camera. And they played over the back of my garden. So I could actually take photographs from my garden if required, but I actually went to the match. And it's a really funny thing. I saw
trying
something.
To guess where you live now, because I'm thinking where the ladies have played.
Or I'll tell you when we go off air.
Yeah,
all right. Or Arsene. Yeah. But all of a sudden, you had this, I'd say you can be involved yourself. The players aren't like 500 yards away and they look down at you like a bit of crap, you know? That you could, these are real people.
Yeah.
And also the fact that I like taking photos, even though I realised that I was crap at it. I didn't realise I didn't know what I was doing, but I've learned a bit since. And also, I don't know, it was just back to grassroots. It's like going and supporting a non-league team or something where it's quite real. And
how the Premier League, has that changed then? Because obviously you started back when I would hazard a guess that the girls were more drawn from the local area and we're now using international.
To be fair, if you call Rome, France, what else did we have? New Zealand, the local area, I suppose they were. That was from all over the place.
All right.
It was just like a family thing, if you like. And I felt like I could get involved with it. And it's West Ham. But West Ham, anyone can call them. You could get a team up. Say tomorrow you get 20 girls together. We called ourselves West Ham City. There's nothing stopping you doing that. And
except
starting
West
at the beginning.
Ain't a city.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's a point off.
West Ham Borough. Yeah.
I'm not out of town, I'm out of country, I think, yeah.
I mean, for me, I don't as well. I've never bought in just because they've got a West Ham shirt on that they're, as well, that they're West Ham.
But you can say that about, is Ella West Ham then? Or he ain't anymore.
Not now.
Three weeks ago, is Ella West Ham?
Yeah, when he was pulling on the shirt, the difference is, for me, West Ham obviously was a football club that was born to represent the West Ham area. Yeah. Now, you know, I'm not stupid. It's obviously snowballed way past that now. Yeah. But as a kid of West Ham, I still try and cling to the West Ham Football Club is there to represent the area of West Ham and therefore should play within the vicinity of that area. Now, I know people throw at me, we played in East Ham at the bowling. Yes, we did, but let's get this right. When you stepped across the road, the Green Street, you crossed the boundary into West Ham. So technically West Ham Borough was on the west side of Green Street. Green Street runs from north to south. So on the west side was West Ham. So
yeah, but it's all geographical.
But it is a geographic thing for me.
Is it coming from
the area?
Yeah.
Because
it's a sport. If they played in Milton Keynes, I'd probably still go and take photos or whatever. But getting back to the question, I don't think I get my sense of humour now. I don't think I got my sense of humour then, actually. But I get on with some of them. I get on with Jack, actually. So he's all right.
Mm. Ah. There's a reason. That's another reason why I don't like them.
You've got to let it go, Nigel.
Maybe you've got a lot of angst.
Kid wakes up and says, "Mum, can you buy me a football club, the West Ham Ladies, please?" You know, and it was just dressed up. I watched 10 minutes of that documentary and it was like, off, no, can't do it, can't.
But we're all self promoting, aren't we? I mean, we're self promoting here, surely.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. You know, it's just because it's.
I'll tell him about my new album coming out.
You got a book as well.
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to have a little bit of a plug.
I've got an half written book and half an album. Yeah.
Yeah, I just hate them, basically. And I think it just stems from that as well. That's why. Oh, right.
I suppose that's a good starting point.
You know, I'm glad the girls got to play at Upton Park at least once.
Yeah.
For me, that's where they should have played.
They should have played every game there. Oh, right.
And then they would have been West Ham, for me. Because what I'm saying is, let's say they played at Averley. Well, why weren't they called Averley Ladies then?
Good point, isn't it? Maybe we should get one of these ladies on, have a propaganda.
Yeah.
Which one, the professional or the old school?
I've got a funny feeling we might do a bit better with the old school. I don't think we get any joy with the pros.
It's a real strange thing, but you know, speaking to some of the girls just play football to keep fit. You know, whereas it's a passion for us, and it's a passion for a lot of them. But you've got that in the amateur say that they were just doing it to keep fit.
Hmm.
It don't make any good, does it? But, you know, it's just one of them things. I think women's football now is in a very precarious position, myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they know what's going on. You've got a big three in like, speech marks, and all the rest are trying to make up the numbers, a bit like the Premiership, really. But
the thing for me, quickly, in regards to that, is obviously women's football's run the West Ham. The money has to come from somewhere. It don't come out of Sullivan's pockets. It comes out of West Ham's United Football Club's pocket. Right. So,
well, they've got sponsors.
Yeah, but does it? I mean, the money that it costs to run a ladies' football team, it's obviously a loss-making exercise. That's what I'm saying. But when it was put to me, you know, at some point you have to start. And perhaps in 10 years' time, it'd be self-sustaining. If I thought that, then I could probably buy into it a bit better. But for me, it just seems like, especially now with the way the clubs are, that it is the money clubs.
Yeah. But we're talking about money again. All I'm interested in is the 11 kicking a ball on a pitch. You know, perhaps I'm being a bit, you know, naive.
No, but no. It could have been different. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I remember the Doncaster Bells were the best.
That's what I was thinking of. Because when you said the big three there, and I think I bet that's not the Doncaster Bells now.
I've gone off, ain't it?
Chelsea and Arsenal.
Chelsea, Arsenal, and Man City now, yeah.
You know, so, and that's the thing for me where I think women's football's not lost it. Thing is, because it's just morphed into another Premier League, it's all about the money.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's when I started watching women's football, it wasn't that.
No.
That's what I love. There's no diving, there's no histrionics. They're just normal people having a good game of football, end of, and that's it, you know? But now it's all, oh, how much money you got? Oh, I've got to hang now, I've got to have the week off. You know, it's getting like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, it's a shame we didn't talk about that earlier. We've done an hour. Should we do a summing up, Judge Khan?
Okay.
And we'll talk about ladies another day with maybe a lady or Stephen, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, get Stephen on.
Yeah.
She made you film, to be fair.
You what, bud?
She made you film. Well.
How far you got with it, Len?
Well, I'm waiting for some kind of instruction, really, because Gonzo's getting involved as well. So I've kind of got to wait to see what they say, what happens, because well, this could be a while. But the fact of the matter is, Stephen, yourself, and Gonzo know more of the story about the ladies, and I don't really know anything.
Right.
So I've got to hear more from you before I make some kind of animation,
I'm not sure.
I find it interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure which way the storyboard is going to go, to be honest. When they had the discussion on the Zoom call, I couldn't follow what they was aiming for, to be honest.
No, not really. It just seemed a little bit introductory, didn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't know nothing about it. For me, the story, I thought, would have been from when they've took over the club to finish when they played Tottenham.
That's how I imagine it.
At Upton Park.
That's how I imagine it.
I'd say, being an avid lady supporter, the Upton Park was just... for me, another game. All right, they got a load of people there, and they played on Upton Park. They played, there's a lot of other games that were more important, and
Well, but again, I'll throw it back to. But that's finally the West Ham ladies team playing at West Ham, at Major League, not at Dagenham, not at I don't know wherever they've played, Hornchurch or. Oh, love the grounds, they've lived a nomadic life.
Yeah, I mean, Hornchurch, Perth, Thurrock.
Thurrock, that's it. I went to see them there as well, actually.
You did?
Yeah, I went to see them down at the Thurrock Hotel.
What was the score? You remember, you got one of them.
Macclesfield
memory man job.
I think they won the game.
You weren't there. You weren't there.
Walking around, said the ladies' youth team or youngsters going around selling tickets, raffle tickets. That's the funny thing. I know it's mad that I do remember from that game.
Oh no, you lost me. I don't. Well, who were they playing? Come on, I'm putting you on the spot. I might get some points back.
I don't know if it was Tottenham. I think it was Tottenham. Because I went with my neighbour, who's a Tottenham fan.
Oh, right. Was you impressed?
No, I've watched, as I said, I watched them a few times when Dix was the manager, when they played at Averley. And the football weren't great, but it was akin, it was non-league football. But you couldn't fault the effort by the girls.
No.
And that's the thing. It was a more honest type of football.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what drew me to it. And it's everything, It's whereas I was getting bored by the Premier League, if you like.
Yeah, the thing that I remember shocked me is that I think I remember talking to Tottenham's, because I was standing with my Tottenham mate and he was with Tottenham. I was standing and Tottenham's, the man that run Tottenham's ladies come over and said, oh, Tottenham give them 25, 30 grand. And West Ham were giving them nothing.
No, ladies.
And I was like, ooh, that's not on, is it? And the bloke went, well, what does it matter? And I went, well, I'm a West Ham fan, mate. And he was like, oh, because I was with the Tottenham boys. He thought I was... Tottenham.
Yeah, they weren't affiliated. Oh. They weren't affiliated with the club. I mean, you would have thought, like, having Julian Dix managing them, there'd have been some sort of connection, wouldn't you?
Dix, he managed the club for nothing.
Did he? I think the guy who succeeded him managed them for nothing.
All right.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, if they would have known they was paying nothing, I would have done that.
He took the photographs for nothing.
Took the photographs. I went to Europe, didn't I, with them? That's dedication. Well, that's another story.
Yeah. Summing up
time. Summing up. Come on, sum me up.
Summing up time. Right. I need to sort of confer.
Okay.
Approach the bar.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think? He's definitely an out-of-towner. I don't think...
Funny enough, it's probably where he's born. He's Boulder Country, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because the voice is town. straight away.
Yeah.
No, obviously.
There's a lot of Tanner in him.
Yeah.
But I think he's made a correct.
T-Bone is sort of, that's what I would imagine. I mean, the T-Bone Steakhouse was quite, with what people would go. And if you was going for a posh dinner, for me as a kid, that's what people would have, a T-Bone steak. So therefore, I would give him a Tanner mark for the T-Bone steak. He went grammar school, but then again, there was grammar schools. That don't hold that against him.
He was born out of town. He decided to live out of town, and he seems happy there.
Is that right, Al? You was born at home?
Yeah, I was born indoors, yeah.
That's Tanner.
That's a bit working class, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I've still got the umbilical cord somewhere.
Yes, I'm go on. You give your summing up, and then
I'm thinking he's a towner, and I think he's worth a planning permission of a 3 to 4 bedroom house, but I'm not quite. There's something.
All right.
There's contentment with him. He's an out-of-towner. There's a lot of, there's not a town of traits.
Yeah.
But I don't think he wants to be a towner. I'm thinking about,
I just thought of something.
Go on.
I don't know if it's in the area, but I did do Hackney Market for 8 years.
Well, Hackney Market was at Hackney Dog Track.
That's
Hackney
it.
Yeah.
Was Hackney Dog Track.
Jordan Road, which was Stratford. And obviously, I think it's where the copper box is now.
During my time there, they built a stadium and then I think it fell apart, didn't it?
Yes.
I think that's between the Hackney Cut and the River Lee, which is still technically Hackney because it's the west side of the River Lee. I might not be right. We spoke about this before, haven't we? That's where they put the...
You went round Carpenter's Road to the bus garage and hook a right in the Walterdon Road.
That's right, Walterdon Road, yeah.
And then you went up and the dog track was on the left.
But the fact,
I never started until.
And there was a traveller's. There was a traveller's site at the front of it.
Yes.
And then when you go past, then you just take your life in your own hands.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't. Yeah, you cross over the Blackwall Tunnel approach A102, and that's where Hackney started for me. You cross there, there was the start of the Marshes. You go into Womerton, you had the Kingsmead Estate. I think this is.
I started then when I was about 37, all right?
All right. Do you want to finish, Len, and then I'll make my decision?
Oh, dear.
Pardon me. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Well, he declared an out of town.
Well, I'm going to give him an offer. I'm going to offer you town status. A nice 4-bedroom house with a basement that you could have as your studio in.
Ooh,
such as like
now you're talking.
My great granddad's house as a kid. We had the downstairs basement in Crofton Road where we used to have our parties. So I'll offer you that.
I had an aunt in Forest Gate, and I think they had a basement as well.
Yeah. So nice terraced house. We'll give you 4 beds. And
who's living next door, though, because, terraced houses and all that.
Yeah. Well, you're good, because you can always hear the neighbours arguing.
Oh, that's all right. It's better than the telly sometimes, isn't it?
Sometimes it used to be. But then sometimes you would listen to them and think, Jesus, they can hear us.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I'm going to offer you.
You're the judge.
Well, that is my decision.
Do you want to take that?
I'd take towner status. Yeah, I'd take that. Is it like the keys to the city? Something like
somewhat.
That.
Somewhat.
We'll get your scroll made up.
Somewhat,
it's not,
yeah.
It's not because I've got to do a load of music later on or something and you're just trying to keep me sweet, is it?
No, we won't do that. I think you've had it off, to be honest with you, Alan. I think you've done all right out of him.
Is this your first town, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
How comes Russ weren't?
Mate, no way.
He's nowhere near a tanner. Nowhere near it. He falls into the university. I still think he's a student, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's still got a student mentality. Nothing wrong with that. It's kind of, I don't know. He's got a lot of energy, Russ. You know what I mean? There's something about him that he still wants to be a student, and that just sort of comes through with everything he does.
Have you seen his lunchtime special?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's too happy. Russ is too happy to be a tan.
This is it. He's got,
miserable, Al, but you've got that bit of trait in you.
I have been called miserable.
Yeah, that's the tan. More than one occasion. I think that's what Nigel's took a shine to.
Yeah.
As I say, you've done all right out of him. You must be a kindred spirit.
I hope I haven't come across as miserable, though. You know, I was hoping to come across as sort of happy-go-lucky.
You know,
sounds like happy-go-unlucky or something.
Oh, right. We've made the decision. He's accepted it. We've got our first tanner, Mr. Alan.
Boom, in the back of the net.
Thank you very much, Alan.
All right, thank you. I'm honoured.
There you go. Len, last thing to say?
Well, congratulations, I suppose. If you're happy with it, everyone's happy.
It's the first thing I've won.
I wouldn't say it's a victory of any sorts. It's just Nigel being his normal judgmental self, to be quite frank.
Do I get a badge or anything?
I don't know. You could probably lead a pack of Staffordshire Bull Terriers down Regent Lane. We're not going to have a flock of sheep, are we? Or we could rustle some horses from the old days of the Beckton Marshes, and I'll let you drive them through. Like when you come a freeman of London, you're entitled to drive sheep across London.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wonder where he was going with that.
Well,
yeah.
That's what it is, but obviously we're not going to have sheep. Around there, but when I was a kid, we used to have the gypsies' horses down by the docks. So,
funny enough, you say that we just had two horses ride past the window.
There you go,
blimey!
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like a tanner when you've got asses. You got horses running.
Horses
past
just
the window.
Gone past. Well, I meant to mention it.
There was loads of horses about. But that was back in the day when you had the rag and bone man though, still and the old
Yeah, and then they invented the car sort of thing. Didn't
yeah.
I remember the rag and bone man with the horse, funny enough.
You said the rag and bone man.
There's someone going behind with a bucket, picking up all the manure.
Yeah.
Happy days.
They were. Thanks for coming on, Alan.
All right, that's all right. I had nothing better to do anyway. So.
Oh, that's a good job, because if you had, I would have encouraged you to do it.
Oh, I've been sitting here by the microphone since about 10 o'clock this morning. Like.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, when you was a kid at Upton Park.
Just like when I was a kid. I'm glad you was paying attention. Yeah, just when I was a kid at Upton Park. All right, I'll send you my latest.
Wonderful.
All right. See what you
thanking you, Alan.
All right, and thank you, Nigel.
You're welcome, Alan. Thanks for coming.
All right, have a good one.
There you go.
You too.
People, until next time, when we'll meet again for another propaganda.
Cheers.
Getting to know you, having a good nose about you, having a gander, looking at what makes you tick.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.